This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking hoops, H-Town. Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the hardwood in Clutch City.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
It's the Rockets Report.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
All right, it's 4:40. That means it's Rockets Report time. Brandon Scott, you can catch him all over the station from In the Loop to us. But twice a week, he and Adam Spolane drop podcast episodes on H-Town Hoops Podcast, wherever you find your podcast, Odyssey app. Can find it there. B. Scott, I know you were in the building last night as they get a big win. Despite how it looked, how it came about, they get a big win last night. What's the feel that you're getting from this team right now? They're 2-1 since the second half, I guess, since the All-Star break. As we started, what's the feel that you're seeing from this team?
Well, the big thing with the Rockets right now, and it's been a couple of weeks now, even going back before the All-Star break, is learning to live life without Fred VanVleet.
Is he playing tonight, by the way?
Exactly what that looks like. He's been ruled out, and he continues to be day-to-day, game-to-game. I saw him last night. He looked, you know, it's hard to exactly get a timeline out of them for Fred VanVleet, but he has officially been ruled out for tonight. But the big thing is, they have figured out a way now, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit. It is not pretty. It is sometimes downright ugly out there trying to get things organized and trying to just run your offense. But they are figuring it out. It looks a lot better, I think, now than it did when Fred VanVleet first went out. Their issue, man, is like this consistency problem. How they get up for the good teams, the teams that they're supposed to, you know, be measuring themselves against, but don't quite do it against the Utahs of the world. And then we'll see what happens tonight against them. That's what makes this night so intriguing. Going up against the Spurs normally would be going up against Wimby. With no Wimby, now it's a question of, okay, do the Rockets get up against a lowly Spurs team without Victor Wembanyama when we've seen how they play down to the competition at times? But overall, they seem to be figuring out life without Fred VanVleet for however long that's going
to
last.
B. Scott, it seems to me like, and this isn't obviously all-encompassing, but it seems to me like a lot of the problems is young dudes figuring out how to play fast and play physical and push the tempo while also taking care of the basketball. You know, like, and I guess taking care of the basketball is too specific. It's just to play with control. Like, it seems to me, like, I'm watching that game last night, and it wasn't just the very end. That's obviously true late in the game. Like, clearly, there's nobody that had the experience or the ability to just go grab the ball and stop the action. Slow. We don't need to go score right now. Just let them foul you. Shoot the free throws. Game's over.
Shigun said, "No, we're gonna do more than that, baby."
Well, that's my point. Is it just snowballs? It went. Jalen Green should have never passed the ball. I mean, just take the foul and go shoot. Instead, he's passing it around, and it just snowballs. And it seems like every time I look up, and there's one of those moments, and it happens multiple times throughout a game. It happened multiple times last night. It's like, it's almost just like flippant mistakes with the basketball that a Fred VanVleet, being a veteran point guard, he makes those decisions look so effortless. Yeah, I guess my question to you is it as simple as young dudes learning how to to play with that fast, physical, up-tempo, but also take care of the basketball, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, no, I think the simplest way to put it is that sometimes, like, they've got a world of ability over there with the Rockets, but sometimes, man, they just flat out don't know what to do, you know? And you know, for me, man, I'm starting to, I understand it's a young team, it's a very young team.
What does that mean? But they don't know what to
do. Like, they make curious decisions with the basketball on a frequent basis, and I think the Shingun moment at the end of the game that did not cost them but was a curious decision is just one anecdote. You can find a number of them throughout the games. I mean, we watch it. It's part of what the issue is with them. I'm saying that they're figuring out a way to overcome that, to win in spite of that, to lean into some of the things, that they, especially as they get whole. All they're really missing now is Fred VanVleet. And so when you're out there and you can throw a mix of Tari Eason, Amen Thompson, and Dylan Brooks, and even Jabari at Giannis. And, of course, Giannis has an incredible night, but they make it hard on him. And you talk to Giannis and Dame Lillard after the game, and they're like, man, yeah, no, it is tough to get into a rhythm against those guys. And so that is how they're compensating for the fact that they sometimes do not seem to know what to do on offense. But, again, they are at least figuring that part of it out. You know, we talked to Alperen Sengun. He's like, man, look, the closers are, and this is for better or worse, because we saw how it was last night. But the closers are Jalen Green and Alperen Sengun. Feel how you want to feel about that. Think what you want to think about that. But that's who they're going. Jalen Green, Alperen Sengun, Amen Thompson, we've seen a couple of times get the ball late in situations when he's not getting flagrant fouls and getting himself ejected out of the game, type of thing. So, like, these young guys are the closers. They are the guys that they're going to rely on. They got to get this experience.
Brandon Scott joining us, Rockets Report. And I did want to get in touch on that, because as much as we talk about with the Rockets, the thing that was, I think, pissing off Udoka the most was the defense had taken a tailspin, and they weren't playing to the level that's what their identity is. It's good to see that is starting to come back. Holding them to under 100 points in a game like that part, and without Fred, I think it's significant too. So I think that part is something that they've got to hang on to, because that is what this team is about, is this defense continue to play like it did last night.
Even when you saw Dame go off, even when you saw Giannis go off last night, there was never a point in that game where you were questioning the Rockets' energy or what they were doing defensively.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't sustained. They shot 40% last night.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, and there was a brief moment, I think, there, maybe in the third quarter, where the defense kind of took a hit, but it was good very early and it was good very late. And so, for the most part, the defense, the energy, again, playing to their identity. We've talked about this over the last couple of weeks of, hey, even when they're winning, whether they're winning the games or they're losing the games, the issue with how they were playing was what was at the forefront. It's like, man, they're not playing like what got them to, at one point, the number two seed. Yeah. Last night was an example of playing exactly the brand of basketball that brought us to talking about them the way we're talking about them now.
Let me ask you this, B. Scott, because I obviously love Amen Thompson. But I don't know where he fits. Like, I don't know who, because he can't, he just flat out right now can't handle the ball as much as they ask him to handle the ball. I mean, because he's one that's involved in a lot of the careless, like, Jalen Green's going to have to handle the ball. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But it seems to me like Amen Thompson ends up with bringing the ball up the floor, and within that, a lot of times is out of control, a lot of times is making poor decisions with the basketball, and which, I mean, maybe that is a spot for him. I don't know. But he seems like to be a guy that's doing a little bit of everything right now. One game you go out there and he's rebounding like an absolute monster, and he's in the paint and he's putting them back and he's trying to get to the rim. And then the next game he's standing out by the three-point line waiting on kickouts kind of deal. Where does he fit? Do you think when it's all said and done and he matures and he develops, like, where do you think he fits best with the Rockets?
Well, he was playing his best ball when he was off the ball and, you know, he wasn't the primary ball handler or any kind of semblance of a primary ball handler. When he's able to cut and kind of just, you know, take advantage of his athleticism. I do think the more, to your point, Clint, the more he handles the ball, the more you're exposing his weaknesses right now, which probably is some of the ball handling for somebody that is going to be, at some point, look, they're going to have to figure that out. Because at some point, he's too dynamic of a player and just too important to just kind of wipe your hands of it and say he can't handle the ball. Like, he's going to have to figure that part of his game out, and he's going to have to develop. To your point, right now, it's not very good. I think they'll mitigate that once Fred VanVleet comes back. And, of course, Jalen Green has also been somebody they've relied on to handle the ball a lot more than he probably did in previous seasons. So, yeah, no, I think it's a legitimate issue. But, like, they got to have him out there. He forces the issue, the athleticism. Yeah. Like, he is a problem, a nightmare on both ends of the floor that you just kind of – you got to live with the good and the bad.
It's just wild to watch him because you look like Tari Eason is – I mean, he shot it well, and he's great on defense. And then Dylan Brooks, great on defense, and he's shot it well, even though it's a funky-looking shot. Jalen Green obviously has the ability to create. Yeah. Alpi, you know who the hell he is. It just seems to me like the one dude, man, that is just – I find it hard. I love watching him. He's great. There's obviously a place for him. But figuring out where his role – what is his role?
I think his role and his fit is everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason. That's why you can't quit him. It's everything.
He's the Patriots offense. Yeah. He's going to, by whatever the game plan is and who it may be.
Because so it is literally just getting better at what we're already seeing him do.
Y'all were having that conversation about Deebo Samuel earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost kind of like that. Like, man, is he a receiver? Is he a running back? Yeah. What the hell is this guy, man? I don't know, but I'm giving him the football.
He's going to guard the point guard.
It's kind of like
getting touches,
He's going to guard the point guard tonight, or he's going to guard the four.
Like, think about it. Even the play where he gets ejected, right, where he yanks Giannis by the neck. Don't lose sight of the fact that he was going up there to check Giannis.
Yeah.
Like, this is a 6'6 guard that they feel comfortable with that mat. Now, I'm not saying that he can just straight up guard Giannis. That's an impossible task.
Right now,
but they've entrusted him with that. Like, the best and strongest and most difficult matchup, they're going to give it to him.
B. Scott, before we roll here, a bigger picture question to you and your thoughts on this. Are you feeling different about the Rockets in terms of where they may end up in the playoffs, their potential for a postseason run, with everything that has happened around them in the conference? Teams have either added new pieces that have changed them, or they're kicking it into another gear. Like, the Nuggets feel different. The Grizzlies feel like they're starting to kick it. Obviously, the Lakers have changed their team. The Warriors are coming.
Yeah.
Are you feeling different about the Rockets big picture wise in the Western Conference, talking about the playoffs?
Yeah, not really. I still expect them to be a playoff team, not a play-in team, but a playoff team. Yeah. Now, I might feel a little differently about whether they're going to host a series or not. Like, to your point, I think that is a little bit more complicated because of how crowded the field is. But Adam Spillane and I have talked about this on the H-Town Hoops podcast of, like, looking at the Western Conference in almost three different tiers, but the first two tiers only have one team in them. So there's, like, Oklahoma City at the top, then there's Denver right under them, and then really everybody else still feels like a similar type of caliber team. Now, you trust those other teams because they got the stars and the pedigree that the Rockets simply do not, but I think that they are the caliber of teams that are not Denver and Oklahoma City, somewhere around the Lakers and Memphis and those teams.
It sounds like you feel like Clint is – it's hard to judge him right now without Fred. Is it hard to judge them because they're not complete?
I'm judging them with Fred. Like, I know he's not there, but he's coming. But, like, it's not a catastrophic injury. He'll be back. And to the point I was making earlier, man, they have figured out ways to win games – without dude. They are playing. It doesn't always look pretty, but they are playing better even without Fred VanVleet. Well, I think it's legit.
For me, it was more like this team without the superstar, without the experience, with how they have to win games, it's just very difficult for them to sustain any level of consistency when they're missing a piece. Yeah. Whether that piece be Fred VanVleet or Alpi Şengün, whoever it may be, like, that one piece really hurts them because they don't have the whole, you know what I mean? They need everybody out there, whether it's the depth players or it's the center or it's the point guard or it's Jalen with the ability to create and score, in bunches. Like, they need all of that to be a playoff team.
Yeah, well, I think that if they don't win a playoff series, like, if they don't go further than the first round, that could be the reason why, like everything that you're describing. But I think that they are still good enough and have been good enough to still get somewhere between, let's say, the 4 and 7 seed.
Brandon Scott, every week, twice a week, him and Adam Spillane drop episodes on the H-Town Hoops podcast. And it's must listen, especially as they're heading towards the playoffs.